I am Reese Tisdale, and this is Future of Water, in which we talk about all the ways which companies, utilities, and people are addressing the challenges and opportunities in water. Today, I'm joined by Bluefield Digital Water Analyst Nina Rossiter to discuss her just released quarterly insight on the notable trends in digital water, of all things, from project and policy development to mergers and acquisitions to venture funding activities over really 2021. You know, our digital water insights have been a growth engine for Bluefield, so I thought we'd share some of the knowledge. So that being said, let's get to Nina and jump into some details. All right, so we're joined here by Nina Rossiter. Nina, welcome. How are things?
I am good. Last night, I binged Bridgerton. So if anyone's seen, season two is out, shout out. And it was great. It stressed me out a lot with their drama. What about you?
Season two, yikes. I'm not going to admit how much Bridgerton I have watched. The pandemic does crazy things to people. But things are good with me. You know, before we got on, we were talking about, you know, where we are. One, you're in Colorado, so you're out west, and it's earlier for you. For me, it's a little bit later on the East Coast, but I went to a Bruins game last night with the kids, which was fun. And they got smoked by the Maple Leafs, but hey, so be it. Life is good, and it's always fun to scream at referees. That's basically what ended up happening to my voice. So.
Well, that sounds like a good night, though.
Yeah, I mean, it goes to show you things are opening up a little bit. In just 1 week, I've gone to a Celtics game, I've gone to a Bruins game, and I think I'm going back to a Bruins game next week. So
I'm just going to guess you're a sports fan, possibly. That's in your Boston energy.
Yeah, I think, you know, I love it. I think my kids like it. And plus, I live right next door to the Boston Garden, so... if I have cash burning a hole in my pocket, then we can always go get tickets and walk over there. So, yeah, but things are good. So, look, really the point of this discussion today is really talking a little bit about digital water. You're a digital water analyst for the team. Digital is, you know, one of our sort of, I guess, growth segments at Bluefield. And we've just released a quarterly insight on really a full year review, not just a quarterly, you know, sort of the end of the quarter. So I thought from what you and the digital water team have told me, 2021 was a positive year for the market. Growth opportunities are expected ahead, although there seems to be a little bit of turbulence up ahead that we will talk a little bit about. A lot of this stems from, you know, economic recovery, but I mean, the business has generally been good throughout the pandemic. When, you know, we know when it started, the question is how you define where it ends. But there's been large-scale infrastructure stimulus funding packages, not just in the U.S., but also globally in other places like Europe. People are getting vaccinated. People are going out. Like I said, I've been to Bruins games, Celtics games. Baseball season's coming up soon. So, hey, you know, people are active. People are out there. People are spending money. So there's strong tailwinds, what I would say, despite the supply chain disruptions and other things that we can talk about. So let's just start at the top. I mean, one of the things we do every quarter is take a look at key, definitely the publicly traded companies among the privates, but the publicly traded companies give us some insights into, you know, where revenues are, what's happening. So give us a little bit of a roundup on what happened, what we saw in 2021.
Yep, sounds good. So I would say 2021 was pretty positive overall for digital water vendors. And every quarter in our digital team, we actually track around 10 publicly traded digital water providers. And then of these providers, we would look at the reported businesses that contain digital water. And what we've noticed from this past year was actually an average revenue growth rate of 12%. Within their digital water businesses. And then also 7 out of 10 firms, they posted higher revenues in 2021 compared to like 2 years ago in 2019, which was before the pandemic. And some companies I want to mention is like Badger Meter. They saw their record quarterly sales in Q4 of last year. And also actually their yearly sales went up 18% from 2020. And that's all really driven by their cellular metering solutions and their SaaS offerings. And another company I want to mention is IDEX Corporation. So their fluid and metering tech segment saw a revenue growth of 11% in 2021. And they've also been active in M&A, which we'll talk about. I'd love to talk about that later too. But in November, they acquired Nexsight for $120,000. And Nexsight is a wastewater monitoring and inspection tech company. But also, you mentioned this too, but something we kept seeing is the impacts of supply chain shortages, which has disrupted orders for a lot of these digital water providers. And when we're speaking to these providers, we hear that they're managing this because they're passing input and logistics costs onto customers. So that they can do this because the demand for digital solutions is still really high.
Yeah, I mean, so one of the things overall context, and we're talking just about digital here, and you pointed out companies like Badger Meter, and I would like to talk more about the metering segment as a whole, but you know, I know I've just gone through a draft of the top companies in water where we look at the leading, you know, 50 or so publicly traded companies in water, everybody from Veolia to IDEX to Badger to and plenty of others. But all, across all segments, whether it be hardware and equipment to engineering services and solutions to treatment technologies to digital water to utilities, every segment is actually up. And we can't say that that was the case from quarter to quarter over the past 2 years. There was always some ups and downs, and albeit for various reasons. But I would say, yeah, I agree with you. It has been amazingly positive. I mean, I think we're living in this, if the right term would be bifurcated world, where there's so much stress and disruption at certain levels of society more broadly, but then economically, you know, a lot of companies seem to be doing quite well. So, well, with that being said, you know, one of the factors, or I guess a bellwether of sorts, is M&A. Like you mentioned, there's traditionally in digital water, there's a lot of activity. So what are we, it was a big year for M&A. Give me some highlights on the digital water space.
It was pretty interesting when we started to do the analysis. I would say that this year really came with mixed results for M&A in the VC space. So in 2021, M&A in water, so that's just like not only including digital, they hit record levels. But then when we look at digital, it wasn't quite the case. It actually saw a 10% decline in total sales from 2020. And we found it might be because there's been a surge of digital water company valuations. For example, when we saw it in Autodesk's $1 billion acquisition of Innovyze last year, so that maybe scared off some potential future buyers. But that's not to say that there are no companies being swept up in large deals. In late October of last year, Sweden-based Husqvarna Group, they bought Orbit Irrigation, which is a commercial and residential irrigation and gardening equipment company, and their deal was valued at $480 million. So I would say that like truly signals greater interest in the growing domestic water management market. And then on the other side of the world, far away in Australia, was an acquisition by Telstra Purple. So they're in a tech services arm of Telstra, which is Australia's largest telecom firm. And just this past January, they acquired Acura Technologies for Australian dollars. $30 million, which is, I think, around $21 million US dollars. And this was to strengthen their industrial IoT capabilities in areas like industrial automation, cybersecurity, and digital twins, all these familiar words, which is used by the water industry. And then on the VC side, their funding has been really, really hot. So they surged 70% in 2021, which was mainly because of large growth rounds from cybersecurity providers like Clarati and Dragos, which provide OT and IoT cybersecurity solutions for critical infrastructure, which includes water. So together, their deals hit $785 million in funding. And then looking at a different sector, we're also seeing huge investment from PE firms like Insight Partners. So at the start of this year, they funded an Israeli water management and leak prevention firm, which is called Wint Water Intelligence, for their Series B funding round of $50 million. And that follows their other VC deals of theirs for digital, like $60 million Series A round for water compliance software provider Clear in November, and $35 million in Series C round for meter analytics provider Ilya Edge Analytics last October.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're talking about strong revenues, and I think you started off your comments with actually relative to other years, digital water M&A is down, which is a little bit surprising. I think we're trying to figure out how much of that, sustainable is that trend? Will it stay down? Will it pick back up? I think your point is a really good one about valuations, and anybody we talk to about, you know, I think it's across the sector as a whole. Water companies are getting a little rich as far as their valuations go. And there's interest. We're getting a lot of interest, like private equity is playing a big role. They have plenty of access to capital for one. Two, they're focused on things like ESG and how do they get water into their portfolio. But also, you know, the one unique thing about the water or digital water relative to other aspects in the space is that it often is, you know, they do have higher, you know, PE ratios where, you know, they're higher growth and, you know, whereas broadly the municipal sector as a whole and developed markets grows anywhere from 2-3%. It's obviously mature, pretty steady, but within that, there are layers of opportunity where there's veins of opportunity using, you know, thinking about it geologically where there's higher growth and digital is one, advanced technology. We're seeing even a bump in like lead service line solutions, you know, is that going to pick up because of other funding? Well, so you've mentioned, you know, some big deals, some other deals globally, some unique ones like Husqvarna is an interesting one, particularly as it's an adjacency as well, getting closer to the home to irrigation. But we talk a lot about this, and if you haven't listened to this podcast or even read our research, we talk a lot about outsiders looking in. That's a common term that we use. And digital seems to be a place for that, right? So we're seeing it as an obvious entry for things like big tech or telecoms or enterprise software companies to get into the space. Can we close 2021 with some analysis to say, is that exactly what happened? Do you have any good examples?
Yes, I sure do. And absolutely. We've seen that the digital water market has definitely attracted interest from adjacent sectors. Seeing, you know, outside players launch, whether it's like a partnership or a product or new investments in 2021. You mentioned big tech, so I'll address that. And I'm sure we've talked about this in other podcasts too. But in November, AWS, they launched their IoT Twin Maker, which is a digital twin service marketed towards water utilities and digital water tech providers. And another big launch.
Okay, well, before you do that, I guess, unless you're talking about AWS, one question, it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, it seems like November is their time to launch, right? Was it in November a year before where AWS had launched, is it Monitron there?
I think you're right. This was launched at, I don't remember what conference, but there was an event where they specifically launched it. And so I imagine they're, you know, ending the year with a bang. And this is a pretty big new technology of theirs because they also do target it towards smaller utilities trying to fill that gap.
Right. So it's not just, what's the platform or the communications platform they're using, Sidewalk, where they're connecting household devices? So there's some question. I know they're either talking or working with other firms on sort of moving data from house to house, and that's applicable to the water space and water sector, particularly as the household gets smarter. But also, they've got these others, if you want to call them asset management tools, specifically or dedicated in this case, is this, you know, this is focused towards the water sector, right? It's a direct application. So I think that's really interesting. And I mean, it's like my children, right? I have a 10 and a 12-year-old. They think Jeff Bezos is the second coming to God, or, you know, so it's kind of amazing. Everybody holds Amazon in such high regard, just partly by their size, but also just their influence on the market as a whole, right? And I think that's what's important about this. Can they really, how much energy and effort will they put towards potentially disrupting the water sector? I mean, I know they're going in a lot of parallel paths, both for their own operations, but also they see an opportunity in this. It makes sense. So, all right, I didn't mean to cut you off. So give me a couple more deals.
So talking about, I guess, just like taking advantage of the growth in the digital water market, there was a big launch by CDM Smith, which was early this year. They launched a digital solution subsidiary called Trinex, which analyzes real-time performance with network simulations for utility operations and planning. And so I would say that it is a big move. Basically, it will be seen as a different business. And we will also have a research note about that out. I think it is already out. So it will go into further detail. And then another way that we're seeing this growth is through partnerships. For example, digital-led service line management provider 120 Water, they partnered with 17 rural water associations across the U.S. And like I said, with Amazon, smaller rural utilities are often left out of the digital water market. So it is really great to see these companies address that gap. And then lastly, if you read any English news site, you'll see that Sewer Overflows, which is, sounds very exciting, of course, has been quite problematic to water systems in the UK. So in December last year, Siemens and Yorkshire Water, they partnered to reduce those sewer network blockages using Siemens AI system and also 2,000 sensors in the network. And all of this, of course, is really exciting to me because I like seeing these traditional roles develop and expand in the value chain. And it's also nice to see technology used for really important things across the water sector.
Yeah, I think, you know, sewer overflows or network blockages, no, it's anything but sexy. And people are like, oh, that's not that interesting. Well, it's pretty exciting if it happens to you. I mean, if you're impacted by it, it's kind of shockingly exciting. So, no, I think this is really interesting. I think the CDM Smith launch is really interesting as well of Trinex. One, because it's just another example of engineering services firms, which we track on an ongoing basis. We have research on it that points to the varied strategies, right? You know, whether it is just being technology agnostic and focusing on almost consultative services to acquiring, you know, technologies, bringing it in-house and using that, you know, how, you know, basically going vertical. And in some cases, they're just spinning out separate businesses. And I think back to your comment about Autodesk and Innovyze. I mean, Innovyze has long been held as, I can't tell you how many times firms have come to us to ask about how did Innovyze do it? What was their, what's their history? What's their timeline and sort of how did their revenues grow? What are their channels to market? But also in this case, how did, at the time, how did MWH manage them, right? Were they, I don't think it's a secret, they were kept somewhat at arm's length because they, you know, higher margins, different business. It was also selling to other engineering firms, right? So that's another strategy. You know, not only are you part of a parent company or someone like CDM Smith, the question is, you know, do they sell services to other engineering? I'm not saying they're doing that in this case, but it's interesting to see how the engineering space unfolds as digital water technology players try to find their ways into the market. In some cases, they may be competing with the engineering services companies, or they could be partnering in many cases. So it's, yeah, I like that and really excited to see how that plays out. So, all right. So we've talked, it seems to be all exciting, all good, even including sewer blockages, but there's an elephant in the room that's called Ukraine, Russia, and maybe the economy as a whole. Do we have any perspective on what, are we on shaky ground? What do you think?
As a team, we are envisioning some turbulence this year, generally just from economic or geopolitical pressures. So it is great that COVID-19 and the supply chain disruptions are expected to improve. But then I think the new focus and challenge this year comes from rising energy prices and, of course, the Russian invasion of Ukraine. I think we imagine interest rate hikes will slow M&A and VC investment. And then the really high energy costs might also influence utilities to scale back on their tech budgets, especially utilities in the highly exposed European markets. And then at the same time, we feel that short-term price pressures with long-term climate concerns will probably drive more demand for energy efficiency, which includes digital energy optimization schemes.
Yeah, I mean, there's a bit of short-term, long-term push and pull, right? I think, you know, pushing towards energy efficiencies would be huge right now, right? Particularly in European markets. But, you know, prices, gas prices as a whole are up globally, and there's definite disruption. The inflation issues are clearly real. I know we're in an inversion, so with bond prices, so between short and long term. So there are concerns about a recession and what that means long term. And Alan Greenspan, for those who didn't see it, he's actually looking at men's underwear sales as a indicator of a recession. So, you know, apparently when there's a looming recession, you can look at men's underwear sales because apparently men don't buy as much underwear in a ramp up to a recession. So that's a good little tidbit. No one needs to tell me if they've bought new underwear or not, particularly men. So I'm okay with that. Keep it to yourself. But yeah, this is really, it's really interesting. And, you know, let's close it out with, what are you working on now?
So right now I'll be working on a research note about cybersecurity and soon after a report on the metering market. But the research note on cybersecurity, I'm excited to write that because there's a lot of regulations being added, not only in the US, but just globally as well. And of course, with the crisis in Ukraine, that has made quite an impact as well on just the focus of how important cybersecurity is, as well as the Otmar attack last year in Florida. So that should come up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, that'll be really interesting to look at. You know, like you said, there's discussion about it, and we have an analyst looking in detail at the Infrastructure Investment Jobs Act, you know, kind of going in more detail through that as that evolves and where the dollar is going. Cybersecurity is a big part of that. Yeah, that's a hot button issue. And also the metering, you know, what we really didn't get into, but the metering businesses, I know revenues were up, but that's been the metering players have been squeezed a little bit by supply chain issues. So I look forward to that as well. And so you're, to close it out, you're in Colorado for another month?
Another month, which means I'll be surrounded by granola girls and climbing beanie wearing guys, just all down to be outside. And I'm quite excited to enjoy the spring and head out more.
Nice. All right, well, Nina, this has been awesome. Thanks a million. Really helpful. And look forward to catching up again soon.
All right. Thanks, Reese.
Take care. All right. There you have it, folks. So before we sign off, please subscribe to the Future of Water podcast and give us a review on whichever platform allows you to do so. Send us a note to waterexperts@bluefieldresearch.com with any topic ideas you would like us to discuss. We're always doing this for you because we got an office and we talk to ourselves or on Zoom. So we're sharing our thoughts and knowledge based on what you hopefully would like to hear. Lastly, tell a friend about it. And with that, this podcast and these water industry insights have been brought to you by the one and only Bluefield Research. To learn more about us and I guess what's happening in water, visit us at bluefieldresearch.com. Until we talk again, be well, be safe, and take care.